Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks for being with us on this Friday Eve. And just enjoy having you with us, and especially on today. You know, this is one of my favorite days. I get to chill with, feels like family, here with Burton Kelso of Integral. And we're going to talk a little tech this Tech Thursday. Good morning, Burton. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, G. How are you doing?
I'm peachy. I'm wonderful. I'm marvelous. I'm just, you know. Anyway, I'm glad to have you here.
Well,
it's always a pleasure.
Yeah.
So what's up?
Well, I'm good and blessed, and you know, my family's good and blessed, and
amen.
I was I was on BNC, which is the Black News Channel, a couple of days ago. Yeah, I've been a frequent guest since the end of the year, and they are a good job as far as representation, as far as things that are newsworthy that affect, you know, people of color, not just but Indian. So yeah, they do a good job, and the challenge is that they always find tech stuff that I'm not aware of. And one of the things that I talked about this week was the Affordable Internet Care Act, which our vice president, what do we call her as far as title? Isn't it Madam Vice President? I think that's the proper title.
Yes, just Vice President.
I mean, seriously,
I am sorry, but I mean, seriously, we don't say Sir Vice President if it's a, or we may say Mr. Vice President, maybe,
right.
But, you know, I mean, I don't know. Madam, Mrs., Ms.,
yeah.
Vice President, we got to find that out.
Yeah, Madam, I think, has more of a regal tone to it, so that's why I was looking for the, you know, the right word rather than just call Miss, because she's beyond Miss, you know, it's, you know.
Yes.
She's
the
upper echelon. So, yeah, I think she deserves the title. But, yeah, she announced the Broadband Affordability Act, and they've had 10 people, 10 million households sign up for it. So she talked about that, I think, on Valentine's Day. And, I mean, that's a good thing because the Affordable Broadband Act is a part of that infrastructure, bipartisan, I should say that right, the infrastructure law that they passed last year. And that's good that they're already making progress because, you know, you and I have talked about internet before, and the challenge is that not everyone has access, especially people of color. It causes a digital divide. So you've got the haves that have access to internet services, and of course you have the have-nots that don't have access to robust internet or to devices. So that's part of that infrastructure law. And when I was talking about on BNC, I forget the reporter name is Tashani, but I was pretty excited because I feel that the internet is the great equator, meaning that if you've got access to free internet, the sky's the limit as far as what things you can learn and what things that you can do. And it definitely will bring opportunity to a lot of low-income families because in case you've got access to everything that can help individuals get better education, access to schooling, which we saw was a problem during the pandemic 2 years ago. I mean, we're still in it, but Back then, we were doing a lot of remote learning. And also for people of color that are trying to start their own business. I mean, the old school method of advertising in print has kind of gone away, and it's all internet-based as far as marketing your business. So, I mean, it definitely means that the playing field is a little bit more even now for low-income people as opposed to people that, you know, internet, paying $70 a month for internet is no big deal. So it's I'm pretty excited about it.
Yes, it looks good, and I found some information from FCC about an affordability connectivity program that I just posted, and then I was getting ready to post some more stuff, and then of course my connectivity just kind of went to pot. But I will get it on the G's Power Hour Facebook page as soon as possible. But I mean, the thing that people don't realize, for example, when COVID happened, well, people don't realize a lot of people who did not have, let's say, internet service or computers in their household went to the library. Our library branches were full of people, of students, you know, and they only, when I used to go, you only get like 2 hours at a time, and then you have to reapply for extra time. Those library computers. So when COVID happened, well, a lot of those branches shut down.
They did.
No.
Now,
so there was no
I don't know about where you were, but yeah, I know, like you said, I don't think they shut the internet down. But the bad thing about it is, you know, the pandemic happened in the early months of the year. So I know from experience that one of the local small town libraries, they used to have it where they just had the internet on 24/7. So you could pull up in your car and surf the internet for hours, even after hours. But then, like you said, they changed it where you had to enter a code in, and then you would be limited to a couple of hours or more, a little more, but not much. But you had that metered internet connection that kind of limited what you could do before you were kicked off. So you're right on the money on that one.
Right, but also, too, if you were going to the library because you did not have the computer, you did not have the hardware, then you were just really messed up when COVID happened because, you know, you could not go to the library. Even if you could access the internet from somewhere else, if you didn't have a computer, you were just totally messed up. So
I have to ask this. So how often do you go to the library, just out of curiosity? Are you in there a lot or just occasionally?
To be honest, I have not been in a while. There was a time that I was going regularly.
How long is a while?
Well, probably pre-COVID, actually.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well,
yeah, probably pre-COVID. It's been 2 or 3 years.
Right. I will bring this up. Not much has changed as far as library access, but you're absolutely right, and I think more people should visit the library, you know, not only to check a book out, but just to get a glimpse of how many people don't have access to a computer or even the internet, because the computers around here, I mean, they're always full of people that are trying to access the internet and fight for computers. And, you know, my blessed self, I'm able to just walk in to the library and just pull out of a laptop and just start connecting, you know? So, I mean, yeah, it's a deal.
But for me, for the library, I was going for like certain classes. Like I don't do a lot of Excel, so I had to go to a class every now and then for Excel or whatever. But it wasn't just that. They had sewing classes. So if you went to certain branches, they had sewing machines. So you could take sewing classes. They have what's called the Melrose Center in our downtown library. It's a tech center. You would probably like that. So next time you come in the area, we have to go to the downtown library. But you could record shows. I mean, I could probably do like an in-studio podcast or something from there and have a small audience or whatever. But, you know, so it was more than just the computers at the library, but I'm just saying in this particular case with the kids and everything, it was a hardship because a lot of them didn't have transportation. They took buses to go to the library.
Right. So. And I think the problem is that it's a huge issue that unfortunately doesn't make headlines as far as internet connectivity, because in today's world, the internet is almost like a utility, a necessity, like gas, electric, and even water.
Yeah.
I mean, you almost can't live without having access to internet, because your sources of entertainment are mainly on the internet now, as far as TV shows, movies, and music. Communication to the outside world, let's say that, you know, especially for seniors, if you're a senior and maybe you don't live close, then you could get on the internet and talk with your kids and grandkids. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities that are being missed from low-income African-American community as far as not having access to internet services and to devices, because you and I know we're in a semiconductor shortage, and so the prices of computers and devices have skyrocketed. And if you can be told, and I know we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but smartphones aren't cheap, you know, especially if you own an Apple device, because a new iPhone is going to cost you around $1,500, if not more. So, I mean, if you're at poverty or below the poverty line, you're not going to be able to access that. You know,
the funny part about it, though, the phone that I just got, I had to upgrade phones because they were going to just drop me. The phone I just got, though, was less expensive than the phone that I got, I would say, a few years ago, even though it's more advanced, which was interesting. What's that?
I said it's an Android phone, though, right?
Yes, Android phone.
Okay, yeah. I know you weren't going to get an iPhone.
Of course not.
Right?
No, absolutely not. I mean, nothing's wrong with an iPhone for the people that like iPhones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting
y'all have
about
a ball.
I was going to say, what's interesting about this affordable connectivity program that this infrastructure plan is rolling out, I thought it was funny. We were talking about it on BNC. One of the main ways they want you to sign up is, I think that FCC link that you shared or were trying to share, and that's kind of an oxymoron. How are you going to sign up if you don't have access to the internet? I guess you could go to the website.
Yeah, right. That's true. That's so true.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had a chuckle about that. But the other thing I wanted to mention is that they do have a phone number that you can call in if you need to get access to the affordable connectivity program. And another thing with the affordable connectivity program is they are giving you a discount for you to purchase a laptop, desktop computer, or tablet from certain providers, you know, and you just all, and I think you have to contribute at least $10, but less than $50 to the purchase price of the computer. So, I mean, that's pretty big. I mean, I wish I could drop $40 and get a new computer. For people along the poverty line. And one other thing I was going to mention about the plan, too, is that it's affecting people of all brown colors, because even the Bureau of Indian Affairs, you can, you know, if you're, I guess, on the reservation, I hate to say it like that, but, yeah, if you're Native American and you're around the poverty line, it even allows them to get access to internet services and to technology, too, so...
Wow. Well, that's good. It's about time. It's past time, really. It really is. You know, I hate when we keep doing stuff when it's when we're in a crisis mode all the time.
But I think, I shouldn't say in all fairness, but I think the problem is if you're not at that level, you don't realize you should do the homework to find out if everyone's taken care of. But I think many times in public office, we always forget about those that are really struggling, and it takes a while to get on board and make that stuff happen. I mean, it, you know, there's really no excuses, you know, but I think sometimes people fall through the cracks, which should never happen, obviously.
So that goes to another topic, which is really not the topic of the day, but this is goes to a subject of how many black friends do you have? How many brown friends do you have? Who's in your inner circle?
Right.
Sorry, but if you have these people in your inner circle, you have more of an insight in terms of what's really going on in other areas of your community. You know,
right.
And when I say the community, not just your neighborhood where you live, not just down the street, but in
right.
your in the world community. So.
Yeah, I think that kind of goes to the, not to get too political, but it kind of goes to the term limits as far as, you know, congressmen and senators are concerned, because I think if you're in that, in the upper echelon of the government for too long, then you start to forget, you know, where you came from, because you're just not in tune, and you're right. You know, how many brown friends do you have? You know, how connected are you to the community to find out, you know, what the current needs are? And, you know, that's unfortunate. So.
Mm-hmm. I have like differing views with regards to the term limits. Like I said, we're getting, see, this is why we can't stay on task, because there's so many other subjects that come up. But my thing is with term limits, my thing is with term limits, I think there's a sign of laziness in there, you know. That means, you know, you throw somebody in there in 2 years, they pop out, and you throw them in again for another 2 years and pop out, and that's the term limit. It's like, no, you got to hold people accountable. So, I mean,
right.
when you vote, you have to do more than throw them in for a couple of years and expect them to you know, do what you need them to do. You need, I always feel like you need to get an annual report from everybody you vote in. What did you do? Why didn't
I
this
like
get
that.
Done? I'm serious. I am so serious about that. I want to see an annual report from everybody I vote in.
Right.
You know, you said you were going to do this. Did you do it? How far did you get with it? Why didn't it get done? Did you change your mind? Why did you change your mind? I want some accountability. But like I said, that's a whole nother thing. So let's kind of recalibrate. So we're going to take a break. we're here with Burton Kelso of Integral. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back. Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com. Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us on this Tech Thursday with Burton Kelso of Integral. Sorry, the angry black woman had to recalibrate. So we're going back. We're going to talk a little bit about another subject that you wanted to deal with in terms of how to avoid tax scams this season. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's definitely tax season, and obviously cyber criminals are looking to get your personal information and, of course, your tax refunds. And one of the things that the IRS was going to try to do, and they canceled, well, they were going to require people to upload a photo, even a selfie, to the IRS website to kind of allow them to figure out if the user on the IRS website was the legitimate user. But that fell through because people started questioning how they were going to keep track of or keep that information safe, because all someone needs is a photo and your information, and then, of course, they can definitely steal your profile. So they backed off on that until they could find another way to kind of keep user information safe. But Yeah, I mean, it's obviously IRS scams have been going on for years just because of the amount of information that's leaked out on the dark web. I made a post to the Interval website a couple of days ago. There was a customer that reached out to us that got a message from Discover saying that her Social Security number was lurking on the dark web. And, of course, she was concerned, and she should have been, because if your Social Security number had been leaked in a large-scale data breach and it's sitting on the dark web, that means criminals can use that number in order to file a tax return in your place. So, I mean, it's a big threat, and the threats are always changing every year. And so some of the ones that you should look out for this season is, one is phishing scams. And so phishing scams are prevalent because they're the easiest way for criminals to get access to your data. I mean, I don't know how many people have called, like, within the first 2 months of the year that have fallen victim to a phishing scam. And most people think it's geared towards elderly people, and it's not. There's mm-hmm. people of all ages that fall for different phishing scams. Even, I shouldn't say toddlers, but tweens and teens and young adults can fall victim to a phishing scam because criminals have become more sophisticated with the way they present the phishing email, phone call, or even text message. And the other reason why phishing works so well is because a lot of these scams are socially engineered, which means that they have a think tank of criminals that sit around at a large criminal organization, and they think of different ways that they can scare people into giving up their money. So some of the scams that you'll see is that the IRS calls and says, hey, you owe a large amount of money, and that they want to collect on that money, or if they've got the sheriff's department down the street waiting to bust in the door and haul you off to jail. The flip side of that is that you have a large sum of money coming to you as far as a tax refund. And then finally, sometimes you'll get the phishing calls where the IRS needs to update your profile, so then they'll ask for personal information, and that leads you into giving out your personal information to criminals. So it's, phishing scams are really effective. I mean, you're talking about, as far as cybercrime, probably a $1 billion industry every year as far as the amount of money that people are scammed out of. And, you know, they'll continue to evolve as long as people don't really educate themselves and keep aware of at least some of the IRS phishing scams that are going around.
You know, I was going to try to – somebody doesn't like you on Facebook. Because I was going to try to post your article, and it wouldn't
uh-huh.
let me. So I'm just playing. But y'all, I'm gonna put it out there. You all need to go to callintegralnow.com, and you can get I'm sorry, or which one?
BurtonKelso.com. That's usually a lot easier.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same blog post on both. You didn't know. I had a person, or you
What's
were
that?
Like looking at it, sure that I wasn't given out bogus information.
No, I was trying to post, and it was like, well, anyway, a whole bunch of stuff. I'm like, okay, whatever. So I told them I disagreed with it. So, you know, anyway,
right.
Who knows? I may be next.
Right. Yeah, the other scam that people aren't aware of is the social media tax scams. So, you're on Facebook you're on most of them. But the thing that's been going around is the people's Facebook account being hacked or any other social media account. And I don't think people don't realize that what criminals are trying to do is to gather information about you so that they could put together a profile about you. Because, you know, we share personal details on social media, some people more than others. And if you're not careful, then obviously that information that you share on social media can get you in trouble, and it can lead to people filing fraudulent returns in your name, and people don't realize that. You know, it's not to say that, you know, you're not careful about not sharing your Social Security number or maybe your middle initial or your address, but it's just the information that criminals gather from large-scale data breaches where they just kind of piecemeal that information together, and then the next thing you know, you try to file your taxes, and then the IRS is saying, hey, you've already filed your taxes. So, yeah, be careful what you share online because it definitely can be used against you, especially in today's environment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you don't think about that because you don't share anything.
Oh, I share a lot of stuff. It's not necessarily – I do. I mean, every now and then, especially depending on what the subject matter is, I'll share it. I don't necessarily linger, but I share certain things that I think are important and relevant, and then I get on and actually have a life.
Yeah, I was going to say that's different than a lot of people where they're sharing, you know, too many details of their life. I've seen people post, like, legal documents, and, you know, they have their social security number in the photo, address, and without marking that out, you know. So, you know, it's out.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of time. It's really, right? You know, I mean, seriously, and I understand you can get addicted to the internet really, really easily. And I can, you know, and I have had times when I've been on there like way too long and I'm like, you know what, go do some laundry, go do something, you know what I mean? You know, you're growing piles of stuff in the house. You know, go do something worthwhile. You know, there's people out there that kind of, you know, need help with different things. You know, why go help somebody? You know, and just. But anyway,
right? I agree. I'm 100%. Yeah, you kind of sometimes make it sound like you're in the minority as far as some of that stuff is concerned. But yeah, the biggest challenge of it is. Yeah, the biggest challenge of it is that, there's a lot of people out there that feel the same way as you. So, and in today's world, that's important. You definitely need to get unplugged from that technology because it can be addicting, you know?
Well, I think I'm unplugged more than most, although, I mean, my husband would probably disagree. But I do try to find a balance. I mean, you know, like football. I'm a football fan, but there's some days like, okay, let's go to movies. Football's
right.
On,
exactly.
Like, yeah, I know. You know, let's go to movies. You know, I mean, you really have to kind of balance your life out a little bit. You know, sample a little bit of everything. There's like a lot that God has put out there for us.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like you kind of need to not get in a rut, not get stuck in a rut.
Yeah. Right.
So,
I get it.
Yeah. Okay, we're off subject again.
Really.
Go ahead.
I was going to throw something that was in subject as far as like unplugging and staying away from your technology. So, maybe we should do that in a second. Let me finish up with these tips to kind of keep you safe from tax scams. So,
yes.
It's kind of easy. I mean, when the IRS is after you, they're just going to mail you to death, you know, as far as what you owe. They're not going to call and threaten you. It's just, you know, if you owe, it's not all of a sudden the IRS is going to be like, oh, my gosh, yeah, you owe today. We're done waiting. It doesn't work that way. So the main thing to remember with the IRS and other phishing scams out there is that most people will go through normal channels to call you. They're just not going to, out of the blue, call you one day and say, hey, we're ready for our money. So, just always keep that in mind. They'll never call. They'll never text you. So just remember that to stay safe from all the IRS scams out there.
Right. And I am posting from IRS.gov that they have different things, tax scams, how to report them. They have just consumer alerts on there. I don't know if I'm going to be able to post this. God only knows. I won't know until it pops up. LifeLock has article also out there about five IRS scams to watch out for this tax season. So,
right.
Yeah, so, I mean, sit if you, you know, if you haven't, even if you have done your taxes, you know, and you know, you may see something that comes back that makes you say, oh, maybe I forgot to do this or that or whatever. I would just sit down and take a read just to be prepared in case, you know, if someone tries to get you entangled in something after the fact, you know.
I agree, 100% agree with that. You know, most people react than to think about the situation. And, you know, it's always good to take a step back, make sure that it's from a legitimate source, and, you know, kind of go from there. So,
yeah. We're going to take a break. But when we come back, I kind of want to go back to something else with the affordability program with, you know, and because I want to ask you what to look for to make sure that not only is your computer affordable, but that it is something that is going to actually work for you. It's not just cheap. So I want to ask you some questions in terms of things that you should be looking for when you're trying to select a computer in certain programs. So we're going to take a quick break. We're here with Burton Kelso of Integral. This is G's Power Hour of Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here on this third Thursday, Tech Thursday, with Burton Kelso of Integral. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. And so I want to ask, you know, when we were talking about the affordability program with the FCC and the bill, is there a criteria in terms of the type of computer that you can purchase? Do you know? And whether or not they have a particular criteria, what kind of things should you be looking for in a computer? Particularly, the reason I ask is now I'm getting this stuff about Windows 11. Okay. Do you have to? I mean, if you're trying to buy a relatively inexpensive computer, it may not have Windows 11 or accessibility to Windows 11 or whatever. Can you talk a little bit about what you should be looking for, the basics, in terms of having a good computer?
Yeah, the good thing about computers now is that you really don't have to worry about specs as far as computers are concerned. We'll jump on the Apple side first, but most, if you, and you ain't getting an affordable Mac unless you find it on Facebook Marketplace, but the main thing you want to look with Apple, because they kind of make their stuff obsolete sooner than they should just because of that planned obsolescence they've got built in. So if you see like a, you know, $100, $200 Mac on Facebook Marketplace, then you probably need to make sure you get more details, because a lot of those Macs are obsolete and people are obviously trying to sell them to make a quick buck. So the thing on an Apple is that you have to pay attention to the year. So if it's an Apple normally goes out, I think, 5 to 7 years as far as computers they'll support. So let's say if you find a 2010 Mac on Facebook Marketplace, then you don't want to get it because it's, you know, obviously 12 years out of date. But they usually go, like I said, 5 to 7 years. So if you can find one that is pre-owned and it's at least 5 years old, then you're going to be in good shape, because it's still going to be supported. So, but most people, especially if they're in an income challenge situation, are probably going to lean toward the Windows side, because Windows computers are based for a variety of budgets. That's why sometimes people balk at the price of a new Mac of being around $3,000, because they're like, oh my goodness, I can get a Windows computer for a lot cheaper. So it's probably the best thing to look for as far as the computer is concerned, especially if you're challenged income-wise, would be to go to, like, Walmart and purchase a computer from there. Because most Walmart computers, especially laptops, are going to be around probably around $300 starting price. But even if you were to find an old laptop, like on eBay or on Marketplace or some of the other things, as long as that computer can run Windows 10, it's going to be compatible with most of the stuff that's out there. Meaning, if you're surfing the internet or just checking email, you know, that computer is going to be, it's going to be worthwhile, you know?
So, does it make a difference? Is it worth it to get, let's say, an extended warranty or something like that on a computer, some sort of warranty on a computer?
No, it's really not, because all technology devices come with a 1-year warranty. And with technology, if it fails, it's going to fail within the first 6 months. And if that happens, then it's just a matter of contacting the manufacturer. Once they confirm that the computer is indeed faulty, then they'll ship you a box. You put it in the box, and then when the box comes back, you've got a new or fixed computer. But in some extreme circumstances, like for business users, you may want to get an extended warranty, especially through Dell, because regardless where you purchase the computer and you get Dell's extended warranty, then they'll send a technician to your location to fix the computer. Like, we have a customer who has a daughter who's in Indiana, and her Dell computer battery went bad. So even though they purchased the computer here in the Kansas City area, with her being in Indiana, they can address, and they'll come out and get it taken care of. So, but that would be the only time that you would need to purchase an extended warranty. But, I would encourage you to go to – and then the other thing that would be a good option as far as – especially laptops are concerned – are Chromebooks. If you're income challenged and all you're doing is checking email and surfing the web, then and doing like using Google Docs for document creation, Chromebooks are excellent for that task.
Okay.
Because,
all right.
Yeah, because Chromebooks, basically the operating system is Google Chrome. So if you're surfing the web and checking your email, and it doesn't have to be Gmail with a Chromebook, you can definitely do it. And there's also a web-based version of Microsoft Office. So if you don't want to use Google Docs, you can definitely use the web-based version of Word and Excel and save some money that way. So that's why I said on the Windows side, you definitely can, or I should say the Windows and the Chromebook side, you definitely can find some affordable computers that will allow you to do what you need to do. Because I'm looking at Walmart.com, and I mean, they've got Chromebooks as cheap as $168. So I mean, obviously, that would be more in line with someone's budget as opposed to, say, an Apple computer.
Right. And so, what would you say would be the average lifespan? Does the software outlast the hardware, vice versa? What are we looking in terms of a lifespan before you actually need to consider changing up a computer?
It depends on what your needs are. If you're just surfing the web and checking email, that computer can last as long as the computer come on. I recently worked on a computer that had to have been 15 years old, that a guy was just surfing the web and checking email on it.
okay.
It was obviously an older version of Windows. And I got chastised in a lot of because I didn't force the guy to upgrade, but at the same time, it was fulfilling his needs. And, I'm like, just roll with it. In fact, there's two customers I worked with recently that had old computers, and they were still functioning. So, I mean, it all depends on what your needs are. The computer can last anywhere from 10 to 15 years, especially if you take care of it. You know, if you're if it's desktop, obviously nothing's going to happen to it. But if you have a laptop, then some people just – you need to treat a laptop like a baby. And, of course, some people are just rough with tech stuff, so it doesn't as long. But if you treat it like a newborn baby and get a protective case, try not to throw the thing around, then it could last forever.
Okay. All right. And then, well, we'll talk about it later, because I know I've gotten you totally off of things that we were supposed to talk about today. But I think that's, you know, with that program, I think it's good to know when you're making that investment, even though you're going to get some financial help with that investment, what to look out for to make sure that you're making the right investment. So, because
right.
It is an investment. Yes.
It is. And I think, you know, low-income families need to kind of avoid Apple products because, you know, it sounds appealing. And I think, you know, for some people carrying around a MacBook Air or a MacBook Pro, it's kind of a badge of honor because most kids obviously want it because it's considered cool. But at the same time, there is the
– sorry.
Why are you laughing about that?
No. I wouldn't do that.
I was going to say –
anyway.
You'll see it, like, if you go to coffee shops and stuff like that. There's a lot of young kids that are carrying around these $2,000 laptops because their parents kind of, you know, feel that's the thing to do. But also it's a badge of honor. But, I mean, if you're coming from a low-income family, you definitely want to avoid any Apple product because their goal, obviously, is to make tons and tons of money, which, you know, Apple has done successfully. But just don't. Many people think that they need to purchase an Apple computer, whereas in reality, a Chromebook or even a Windows computer will do the same thing for less money.
Okay, cool. So what else should we be on top of today tech-wise?
Well, it's funny you brought that up, but it just real quick, I don't know if you knew this, but every year there's National Day of Unplugging. And this year it's March 4th and 5th. And I don't know if you can unplug.
Oh.
Like most people can't. But, yeah, National Day of Unplugging is the challenge to get people to unplug from, like, all technology for a 24-hour period. So it's observed. It's usually the first weekend in March. This year it's March 4th and 5th. And the whole idea is to, like, from sundown to sundown is to, like, not touch anything technology-wise. Or at least limit the, you know, the amount that you're hopping on technology for a 24-hour period.
Okay, so
you
really do that on, if you work the standard work week Monday through Friday, you can really do that on the 5th. Don't set the alarm clock, you know, seriously, don't turn on the stove. Go eat some cereal or something. I don't know. Anyway, go work outside in the yard or garden. Hey, you can do it. You can really do it, you know. So you might get the heebie-jeebies for a minute, but once you get engaged in what you're doing, you know, you can really do it. I think you enjoy it. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, the challenge is when I post that on social media, oh, people lose their minds. I can't do that. 24 hours, are you kidding me? But
that is so stupid. I'm sorry, I'm going to say that. That's stupid. It's actually stupid because that means that you don't have a brain or you won't allow your brain to function outside of what people say should be the norm, and that is having a computer or having technology. You can do it.
Right.
Go visit a neighbor. Go do something.
Right.
Seriously.
Get
your butt up and off in front of the TV. Sorry.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to throw out, too, is that, and people don't pay attention to this, but just the fact that technology devices are designed to keep people addicted. I mean, that's the sole goal, is to get you to tune into a specific brand, whether it be a social media account or a phone or a tablet. I mean, that's the whole goal, is to create it so that it's addictive and so that you're on it all the time. So, you know, if you want to clear your mind, you obviously want to at least get into the habit of setting down your technology. Like normally, normally for the weekends, I will just leave my phone in the charger and not touch it as much. Now, sometimes I'll do a post on social media, like in the morning, but then after I do that post, then I'm done for the weekend. Now, on the weekday, it's a little bit different because, you know, I'm trying to keep track of what's going on at the office. But I think everyone should get into the habit of taking a technology break at least once a day or at least once a week so that you can clear up your mind and not be as addictive to your tech, you know.
So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk, we're going to take a little bit of different detour with regards to our tech today. This is Dee's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have a question still, the number is 516-387-1944. We're here with Burton Kelso of Integral. Dee's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Hey, need your W-2s, 1099s, processed, printed, and mailed? Email us today at 1040@javistax.com, 1040@javistax.com, or call 803-419-1001, 803-419-1001.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been two decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the arc with you. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth, it's relaxing, it's chill-out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is the third Thursday of the month on G's Power Hour, and that means it's Tech Thursday with Burton Kelso of Integral. And if you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. So I came across a couple of articles. It's not directly, I guess, in line with what I wanted to ask you about, but there are a couple of things. One was there's a couple of discrimination lawsuits with some tech companies, one with IBM, a little bit of an ageism discrimination lawsuit going on there, and one with Tesla. In fact, I know there was a case recently with Tesla and a gentleman who I want to say, and I've got to find it, I want to say he won like $1.7 million with regards to some discrimination going on with Tesla. But what I wanted to know is about how tech might be used in, you know, discriminating. So are there ways, are there instances where technology has been used that you know of in discrimination?
Not, but I've read plenty of articles, and one of the stunning ones is that on social media, as far as influencers are concerned, there is kind of a rumor that some of the social media companies are using algorithms to identify black folks online, and their numbers may be, I shouldn't say their numbers, their visibility may be suppressed just based on skin color, you know?
Yeah, I think I did see something about that too. I also came across, and I think I've shared this before on the Deep Power Hour Facebook page. They did an update last year on it, but civil rights violations in the face of technological change. So I'm posting that as well. But I think, like I said, I think I've mentioned this to you before. I think I may have come across it in terms of shopping online,
right?
Or at, or browsing online, where it seems as though I put in my zip code. And
right.
the information that I originally saw prior to putting in my zip code either was no longer there or changed. You know, but the thing that gets me too is the more I see the requirement of cookies. And isn't that a way of using, you know, information against you as well?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it's almost like if you don't agree to accept the cookies, you know, what the information that you're getting is limited, you know, or you're even shut down.
Right. Well, yeah, cookies can be definitely used against you in various methods. That's why on the top level, when you make airline reservations, they say that you're not supposed to use them from a Macintosh. Well, don't do it from a Mac because obviously it's assumed that you're in the upper echelon if you own a Mac, and so therefore prices could be higher. But the good news about cookies is the fact that it can't get like personal details, but cookies in your browser can definitely let a shopping company know where you shop, just what your internet habits are, and it can definitely build a profile of you based on race. So the best way to avoid that would be to either use a VPN when surfing different websites when you're shopping online, because a VPN will mask where you've been on the web from your internet service provider and from the website you're visiting, so it'll kind of give you a clean slate. And the other thing to do to kind of cut down on web browsers or websites from reading the cookies in your web browsers is to surf in incognito or in private mode. It will block your cookies from that website so they really can't get an idea of who you are, you know, what your ethnicity is. To kind of give you an equal web experience. But, you know, those things obviously have to be related to the general public because both incognito mode and VPN are terms that people aren't familiar with. But yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but you just have to look at anything that you do on the internet. All of these companies are just trying to make a profit in some form or another. But obviously, you've got to get the education to make sure that you can stay anonymous and safe when you're surfing the web.
A couple of other things I came across, and I'm posting as we go. One is a United Nations report that talks about independent rights experts say emerging technologies entrenching racism and discrimination. And then another article I came across with Harvard was talking about racial discrimination in face recognition technology. And we've talked before about face recognition technology in terms of, you know, being able to, you know, unlock your phones and all that type of stuff. And I've been a little reluctant with that and also with some of the voice activation stuff. I have an account with a finance company. I won't mention the name. But they keep asking me to switch over to a voice recognition ID, and I keep, like, canceling it and going on. And I keep wondering, how long is it going to be before they require me to use my, you know, the voice recognition versus being able to go in, I guess you could say, the old-fashioned way. Are we going to be forced to use some of these technologies that could in turn be used against us?
Yeah, I mean, I think not necessarily voice recognition, but definitely facial recognition. Obviously, it's prevalent on smartphones, but it definitely is on some computers. I know newer computers have the fingerprint or the, not necessarily voice, but the facial recognition to allow you to log into your device. Now, on computers, usually, though, the facial recognition is device-specific, but most of your smartphone stuff, it is uploaded to, like, Google and Apple's computers. So I hate to tell you this, Apple usually is on the side of personal privacy. One of the things that they did last year was with their iOS update 2000 or iOS update 14, they block apps from like looking at your phone to report information, and it's really caused a big hit with Facebook because Facebook was scanning your phone to find out where you've been in order to target ads to you. But Google, on the other hand, I mean, they're not a search engine company. They're a marketing company. So it all depends on who you sign up with services with, you know, as far as do they need access to your information to keep going or if they don't need access to your information. So, you know, those are the main things because there are people and companies out there that want to protect your privacy. But then on the flip side, there's more companies that want to find out what your, you know, what information you have so that they can sell your information on to third-party vendors. So something to think about.
Yeah, definitely. Another article I came across that was from last year was talking about high-tech and heightened discrimination, and they have some what they call policy recommendations for its ethical use. So I'm posting that as well. But in addition to the fact that some of it can be used just to find out your you know to find out your financial business, you know, to get your ID information and all that kind of stuff and to hack in the stuff. You also have to be worried about it just being used against you in other ways too. So I mean, and don't get me wrong, technology has really I do acknowledge, maybe I don't do it enough, the benefits that the advancements in technology has made in terms of being to, you know, make our lives better and to access, you know, different information and to make us with more comfortable cars and televisions and all that type of stuff. But I do think sometimes we take it for granted that, you know, all of the benefits that it provides and maybe just, you know, don't keep our guard up enough sometimes. So that's why I always try to have these conversations with you because you can give kind of, I guess, more balanced perspective, help us get more balanced perspective. So I thank you for that. So,
the term you're looking for the discrimination is techno-racism.
No racism. I'm going to have to pull that up and Google that. But I invite you all to kind of look at some of the stuff that's been posted today on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. There's information on what we talked about earlier with the tax scams and the affordable connectivity program that FCC has, but also some of these articles that talk about how technology can be used in discrimination. So, Burton, how can we find you?
You can just go to my website at burtonkelso.com. Of course, there's a ton of tech tips and articles that are designed to help you get more from the technology in your life. You know, I always say I love technology, and I've read all the manuals, and I'm serious about making technology fun, safe, and easy to use for everyone.
Yeah, I like my Sudoku on my phone. I do. I enjoy it. my biggest problem is trying to get my taskbar on the bottom down from covering part of my page. So that's, you know, anyway. Thank you, Burton. I look forward to having you back next month. Have a blessed weekend and take care and, you know, enjoy your time unplugging. Any tips, what last minute tip, last second tip?
Lock your phone and don't, lock your phone in the drawer. So,
lock your phone in the drawer. Hey, that works. That works. All right, y'all. Thanks for joining us. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I'm your host, G. Be well, be safe, be blessed. Talk with you tomorrow, God willing. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.